Together, let us give thanks to the Lord. We know of a surety, Heavenly Father, that it will always remain the solemn duty of mankind to give Thee thanks, for Thy mercy endureth forever. It has been from the beginning, and it will reach to the end, especially to those hearts that are upright and that are repentant. Thou wilt share in that mercy. And we rejoice in this blessed hope. Especially do we rejoice in Thy strength and in Thy redeeming power when we take into consideration that the enemy of our soul still runs rampant, seeking whom he may devour and whom he may destroy. We rejoice, Heavenly Father, that in Thy name, even as it was with the disciples of old, that the devil is subject to Thy name. We realize that maybe we should not rejoice in this, but rather that our book, our name, is written in the book of life and in heaven. We pray, Heavenly Father, that from this beautiful and holy status and highest plane that can ever be attained to by mankind, that from it we will never depart. We are grateful that Thou hast brought us through another week and that together we can assemble with our loved ones around the Word of Life. We are thankful, Lord, that Thy grace has been shared, we believe, to all who are earnest and who are vehement and who are desirous of Thy truth, that Thou hast somehow carried them through. We are not mindful of ourselves alone. We well recognize that Thou dost have Thy children and people scattered to the far winds of the earth, and in every clime and in every nation Thou hast raised them up who have believed on Thee. And we pray wherever there have been inroads made into the heart of mankind and where Thy true redemptive power has been experienced and mankind has been cleansed and purified and been made whole and been made white, that Thou wilt keep them unto the glory of Thy name and unto the time, dear Lord, when they can stand raptured with Thee from the shores of this earth to the shores of eternity. We are grateful and most deeply thankful that Thou dost yet work within the hearts of dear and precious souls who too want to join the ranks, the soldiers of the army of the Lord. And even in this congregation, there have been those young and tender hearts that cry out and call, and already they have tasted of Thy greatness and of Thy power, and we pray for them. We pray, Heavenly Father, that if necessary, a double portion of Thy Spirit will go with them, and that Thou wilt keep them, and that as they do walk the valley of repentance, they might experience a divine and a pure and a holy relationship with Thee, one that will be of kindred heart and mind, one with Thee, their Master and their Lord. Forsake them not. Grant, dear Lord, that in the due course of time they can, by Thy grace and through Thy mercy, find the forgiveness of their sins and of their transgression and be made white and wear the righteousness of Thee, their Lord and Master. We pray in the interest of many others, dear Lord, who have not followed them and who have not yet surrendered all. We plead in all sincerity, continue Thou to work within the hearts of mankind and womankind and draw them while Thou art yet to be found. We want to pray in the interest, dear Lord, of all of those who might despitefully use us, and that is even set forth in the command of the Word, in which Thou Thyself was the perfect example to love the enemies, to bless those who would persecute, and to pray for all. In this we do. And we know that if it can be attained thereunto to that end, that peace and unity will ever live within the heart of man, and such souls shall live at peace with Thee. We are thankful for this blessed hope, and we are thankful for such a heavenly direction. We pray for this congregation, our dear brothers and sisters and friends, each and every one, that Thou, Lord God, will manifest Thyself and declare openly Thy will and speak to the hearts of those who love and fear Thee just what Thy will is, so that hearing they may hear, and seeing they might see, and hear, and also understanding they might perceive. Yea, dear Heavenly Father, forgive us too where we fail and where we err. We know that we are not found worthy of the numberless and endless blessings that Thou dost give us, in which we so freely do partake of, but make us mindful, and help us to be appreciative, and might we reflect that gratitude through a life of steadfastness and life of devotion, and grant that each and every one of us will gladly be a true cross bearer, and that we will stand separate and apart from the world, and that we will be a peculiar people, and that we will reflect even outwardly those things, Heavenly Father, which we believe somehow do satisfy and please Thee, and that we do not become one with the world, either within or without. And we pray for those that have been confused and misled and have stepped to the side. We pray, Heavenly Father, that Thy Spirit, as a Holy Spirit of Comforter, might come upon them, and that it might bring them back, and that they do not have to live in a confused status, but that they might see clearly the judgment that hangs over all. Yea, dear Heavenly Father, now we plead and we pray that Thou wilt breathe a blessing upon the word of life and truth, that spoken and unhindered it can flow into the hearts of man, and there it can be received because souls are hungry and souls are thirsty. We pray, Heavenly Father, even in the interest of ourselves and this precious ministry that Thou hast raised up, grant, dear Lord, that they can always be ministers, even as flames of fire, serving to the glory and honor of Thy name and as spoken in the word of life. Bless us in our many needs. We are weak, we are frail, and Thou knowest how on the inside we fear and we tremble when we take the word of life in hand. So come to us, Heavenly Father, we humbly pray, and abide with us throughout this entire day. We pray and we ask it in Thy holy name. Amen. I have here in St. Luke's Gospel from chapter 6. Chapter 6 in St. Luke's Gospel, and beginning at verse 20, which is the part of the chapter which has opened here. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you, and all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be called the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. I've read through verse 35, this chapter. Dear ones, in the New Testament chapter that we read here this morning, I think that we should just all very freely admit in our own heart that we need it, and that we haven't risen above that, or that we've excelled at it, or that we could say, it means somebody else. We just can't do that. Because we have not aspired to that. But you know, we're not going to gain anything from it, even this morning or today, if we don't have the right kind of an attitude, or if we don't have the right kind of a mind, or if we don't have the right kind of a heart, then it won't mean anything. And of ourselves, we're not able to have the right attitude, because the human that's in us does not wholeheartedly buy or subscribe to these kind of words and to this kind of a teaching. It fails. So maybe it will help us. I don't know. If it just helps one person, then it'll be worth the time to consider a little bit what we read together in the Old Testament. And it would seem to me that that would help us to somehow have a right attitude and a right mind toward God's Word and toward the, well, really toward the whole Bible. But this morning, toward the New Testament teaching that we read. In the very first verse, and it's not necessary for us to read it all again. God specifically spoke to Jeremiah. Let's bear that in mind as we start to talk about the Bible. And as we start to talk about the teaching, let's bear that in mind. God was talking to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was a leader of his people. He was the man that was responsible to talk to them, to tell them, whether they wanted to hear it or whether they didn't. And if I'm not mistaken, just in the 21st chapter of this same prophet, when he was finally now confronted with the ordeal of carrying out the commission of how he was supposed to be fitted and what kind of a vessel he should be so he could speak. Then before he went on that mission, he was told again by God that he should go to the house of Israel. Why should he go to the house of Israel? He was supposed to go to the house of Israel because up to that point Israel had failed. Israel had not listened to their prophets, and Israel had not listened to their leaders, and Israel had sinned, and Israel had fallen short, and all the while, mind you, Israel had professed to be a godly people. They had built themselves up to where they felt they were anointed and they were good, and that was fine. And in God's sight, they had found favor, but they hadn't. But they actually got themselves to believe it. And God saw it, and God knew there was only one man at this time that could handle the situation, and that was Jeremiah. And so he told Jeremiah, "Now go." And he said, "If you diminish one word from what I have told you," he said, "I'm going to do everything to you and even more." So you know what that means to me? I hope you understand that when the Bible falls open and the Bible talks about righteousness and the Bible talks about sin and the Bible talks about heaven and the Bible talks about hell, somebody in your day and time is still going to be a prophet of Isaiah and a prophet of Jeremiah and Joshua and all of those men of old and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And every one of those men had tough assignments. And every one of those men were destined to go to speak to people who thought they were good, but had fallen short. And so Jeremiah wasn't fit to go. As he stood, he wasn't fit to go. So he told Jeremiah, "Go to the potter's house," and all he said was, "You just watch what's happening there." And Jeremiah did that. And Jeremiah saw the potter take the clay, and he made it a useful vessel. Something that could be used good for someone. And that's just exactly what God wanted Jeremiah to catch. And he did. And so he told him then, after he had saw this, he said, "Then the word of the Lord came again to me." Now starts the commission. He said, "Cannot I do with you as with this potter?" In other words, God was telling Jeremiah, he said, "I can make a useful vessel out of you. I can shape you and I can make you." But it wasn't going to be to his own good or to his own credit. It was going to be for the benefit of those who heard his voice. And that was Israel. And you know, we're still Israel. For all I know, we're an adopted Israel. But we're still Israel in the faith. And God is still going to speak to his people. And someone's going to have to be used. And you know, when Jeremiah was through talking to his people at that particular point in time, you know what happened? Might I refresh your memory? You'll find it all contained in the prophet of Jeremiah. They hated that man. They rose up against him. They conspired against him. They threatened to take his life. And if he didn't leave the shores of their land, they said he was going to. And he told them to go ahead and try it, if that's what they wanted to do. And he told them that his blood would be upon them. And he spoke of the calamity that would exist. He spoke of the price that they would pay, not because they refused him as a man, but because they were refusing God. And you know, it's so true yet today, and we see it happening, and often your brethren talk about it. People rise up, they rebel, they don't want to listen. They've made up their minds they're not going to listen. They're going to resist, and they're going to condemn the spoken word as of the man. But what really is happening, they're discounting an almighty God in heaven who really means it so well with their soul. And so that's the sum and substance of the teaching of the prophet of Jeremiah that we read together here about this morning. But he told them this. We can make this part of it short. When you go and speak to them, tell them that they have done evil in my sight. Tell them that. No man likes to be judged wrong. No one likes to be told he's sinned or he is a sinner or that he's made a mistake. For some reason, people just don't want to be corrected. They didn't then, and they don't today. Because the sinner is a sinner, he has made mistakes, and he's going to be judged by an almighty God. But you know, God was kind. God was compassionate to Israel through the mouth of the same prophet. And then Jeremiah uttered these words too. Tell them that if they repent of their evil deeds, tell them that if they repent, I will forgive them. And I will repent of all of the evil that I'm going to do to them. In other words, if mankind repents and he has the right kind of a heart, God will back off of the pronounced sentence and judgment of an eternal hell. And you know, that should ring out as a beautiful message of comfort to the vilest, to the greatest of sinners, that God will not carry out the proposed sentence of eternal death to the repentant heart. Repentant heart. Let's bear that in mind as we talk about the New Testament scripture that we read together here. We read of a time in the lives of mankind here again when they thought they were pretty good. And they laid a lot of weight on their own good efforts, of their own good deeds. And they were being good to each other. And they thought that it was going to carry a lot of weight in the eyes of God. And there came a time, and that time was right here in this particular scripture, early in the ministry of the Lord, when he had to correct those people, even though they were his disciples, and they were people who walked along with him, and they were people who listened to him. And he saw in their heart the fallacy of their own religion, of their own righteousness, and of their own hypocritical ways, and God could see that. And so he had to speak to those people, and he had to tell them that those things that they were doing were not good. And he laid them out. He told them that if you love those who love you, what thank have ye? And he told them that if you're going to do good to somebody who's doing good to you, you might as well forget it, as far as righteousness is concerned, or as far as a passport to heaven is concerned. It isn't going to accomplish you nothing. He didn't tell them they shouldn't do nothing good to each other. That isn't what he's saying. But they're laying the weight of their own righteousness in the hopes of gaining favor with the Lord. And you know, we see that all around us today. Mankind puts forth a lot of effort to do a lot of good things. But we won't always have an opportunity to really do what the Lord wants us to do. And I think we should talk about that a little bit, because the scripture lends itself here. And he went on to tell them then in another scripture, and it was paralleled with them, with this one. And he told them, you're always going to have the poor around. You can always help them. The older I get, the more I travel, the more people I see, the more poverty I see. And indeed, I can see the fulfillment of the word of God. You're always going to have the poor. That's a never-ending thing. And we'll never get to heaven by helping them. We should acknowledge that. And so he had to tell them, but me, he said, me, you will not always have. Where does that fit into our lives? And where does that fit into the picture? Where does that fit into our Sunday morning service here in Leicester today as we're talking about it? It's not hard to arrive at the answer, not as I read the Bible and not as the Word speaks to my heart this morning. We're not always going to have the Bible. You're not always going to have an opportunity to repent. That time is coming. The prophet of Jeremiah talked about it. He said, in what instant? He said, I will tell a nation no more. There's coming a time, and God saw that in the life of Israel and those people. And he wanted Jeremiah to tell them that. You know, and I believe the word still speaks the same to our heart today. And we got to tell each other that. We won't always have a time to repent for our evil. We won't always have a time to serve the Lord. Me, he said, you will not always have. But the poor, they're always going to be with you. They're going to be with you to the end of the world. And the good Lord could see that in the hearts of these, and they were unconverted men. We have to acknowledge that. Even though they were unconverted, they laid a lot of weight on their own righteousness. And I guess that's what we want to talk about to our unconverted soul this morning. And we want to tell you, don't lay weight on your own thinking or on your own good works in hopes that one day it'll get you to heaven. It isn't going to get you there. In fact, to those, the door is then going to be shut. But we can tell you this, that while you have an opportunity to serve the Lord, and while you have Him here, while you have the Bible, And while you have somebody that'll speak the truth, and while you have a church that stands anointed of an almighty God, you have him, but you will not always have him. And then he went on a little farther, you know, and he kind of tests their faith, and he puts it to them. That wasn't the love of God. And we hear an awful lot about charity. In fact, I think that we hear all too often, and it really isn't true, that charity is love in action, and it isn't. The word love here, as the good Lord spoke about it, and charity are far removed from each other, and they don't have the same meaning at all. But the Lord didn't hesitate to tell those people, okay, if there's a lot of righteousness and you're doing a good deed here or there and you're thinking that this is going to help you get to heaven, he told them to pray for those who despitefully use them. And he told them to love them who hate them. And you know, that's not an easy task. I'd be the first one to want to admit it and to have to admit it. It's not easy. Not too long ago, one of my co-brethren, who labors in the service of the Lord, and he labors diligently today, told me this, that one of the hardest battles that he ever had in his life was really loving. And he said, I mean really loving someone who was always picking on him, someone who conspired against him, someone who was always framing a piece of work that gave him a heartache and a headache and tried to tear down everything he ever built. And you know, I can understand that language, because we do have those that don't like us. And I guess they are our enemies. And I'm sure they conspire against us. I have no question in my mind. But to really get down on our knees and really pray for that person as sincerely as we'd pray for anybody else. And you know, those people soon saw the fallacy of their own righteousness, and it didn't mean a thing. And you know, our friends have room to listen to this, and I hope you do listen. Because to tear down the church or to mock the word or to not serve the one where you're not always going to have an opportunity to serve becomes a pretty serious matter. And the Lord so spoke to the heart of these people in telling them that. And then he goes on to tell them, he said, if you're going to love those who love you, what thank have ye? And if you're going to do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? How do you think they really felt when they heard that? After they thought they had aspired to a pretty nice height and had really reached something in this life, now all at once they were told they aren't near what they think they are. But here was the other side of the coin. And you know, we have to do that, and this is the Lord speaking. Maybe that's why I mentioned something about the attitude and something about the mind. That takes a repentant heart, because only a repentant soul can go to his brother or go to his sister or go to his friend and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't do to you what I wished you would have done to me. And it's going to be that way all through life. And that's something that we as brothers and sisters never want to forget as we go through this life. We've never graduated above that. And because we're once taken into the household of faith and we err again, we just don't correct that thing. And just because we're in and we have a status, so to speak, of being a member, no, it'll never work that way. We can't do good to those that do good to us. And we can't hate those that hate us. We have to love those that hate us. And by so doing, we exercise love. And by exercising love cometh forth peace and unity and the blessings of an almighty God, which he wanted these people and all of you to have.
The word has been spoken with power this morning, a power of God. And I just wonder, as we conclude the morning and we can reflect back on the word, how are we going to apply it to our lives? Are we going to be as those we read about this morning? Or are we going to be those that God will favor with his love and apply it to our hearts and to our lives? You know, as we think about this word, we think about the love that was spoken about, loving our enemies, doing good to those that despitefully use us, and that happens. I agree with Brother Leo there, and I agree with the word. But you know, when it's all said and done, that soul that can simply hear the word and obey it, apply it to his life, whether it's yours or whether it's mine, he's a soul that's blessed. And isn't that what we're looking for in this life? Blessings, godly, God-given blessings, blessings that make our life richer in the Lord and more appreciative and more thankful for what he has given unto us. So may we each one take this word to our own hearts, and each one of us ask God to bless that word into our hearts. Your brother might select a hymn.
Hymn number 90, the last three verses.
Once again, turn to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, the hymn writer's plea was that he would be given a trusting, heaven-gladdened mind. And we too, as we come to the close of our morning service, pray that we likewise would be giving a mind that would be trusting not in the cares of this world and what it allurement and what it has to offer, but it might trust in that good and holy word that we were exposed to this morning and that we were ministered to. And that all our thoughts, all our motives, all our deeds and our actions here upon this earth might reflect to that heaven-gladdened mind. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we could come to church today, once again be ministered to, be reminded of, be encouraged, be invited, to be pleaded with, to just simply each one of us obey the word. We're thankful that it is a word that is filled with power, a word that has hope in it, a word that can direct our lives as we travel here upon this earth. We realize also that we are strangers and pilgrims in a foreign land. We do not want to become involved in the world and to put our trust and hope therein, but rather reflect each day to that home above that has not been made with the hands, not with the plans of man, but the hand and the plan of God. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank thee once again before we close that we could come to church and that we could understand the word as it was spoken to us. We know and we believe that it was a word, that it was God-given and God-directed. We thank thee now for all blessings in life. Pray that thou would continue onward with each one of us as we travel to and fro upon this earth, and that each one of us might work out our soul salvation in fear and trembling as the word reminds us. We thank thee again now, Lord, and pray that thou would add thy blessing to our noon hour, to our fellowship one with another, that we might have esteem, that we might have respect for one another, and that we might hand in hand, heart in heart, work out our soul salvation is our prayer, which we gladly bring in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do we have brethren among us today that have greetings to share? And if so, we certainly would welcome them. From where? Morton. Morris. Thank you. From Bern, Kansas. Pulaski and Peoria. From Sabetha, Kansas. We thank you, brethren, for your greetings. I want to join those greetings with greetings from the church at Spada, Texas. I would want to mention in particular, of course, Brother Leland Plotner serves as minister there. And also, rather a unique situation, but in Spada they have four retired elders. Brother John Baylor, Brother Herman Kellenberger, Brother Paul Fair, Brother Gene Birchie. And needless to say, those brothers certainly all send their greetings to you. And there were a number of others, visitors from far and wide, and send greetings. But in particular, again, I would want to mention Brother Chuck Knobloch and his wife, Coral Lee, sent their greetings to the Lester Church. With that, we dismiss our morning service.
Hymn number 158.
Yeah.
number 159. Selection from Zion's Harp. Hymn number 179.
Thank you.
Hymn number 236, 236.
Hymn number 118, 118.